Can you remember when you first began to love the darkness? For me, it happened on Tennyson Lane, where I grew up. There was, we had probably 20 kids in like a six house area. And in the summertime, we'd get outside, and at night we'd play hide and seek, a specific kind of game of hide and seek. One person who was it stood under the light post and counted, and everybody spread out, and you had six houses worth of hiding places to go. And the person who was it had to not only to find them, but had to tag somebody before they got to the pole of light, right? So you'd go out and you'd find the best place to hide and figure out a way to get to the pole. And so it went, and we'd play every night. And every night, we'd get into some kind of fight. Because of the Smiths. Mike and Sandy and Timmy and Sandy and Terry and Barry and Carrie and Sheila and PJ. Right? Because what they would do is one of them would be it. Say Terry was it. And then everybody would scatter. One of them, maybe Barry, would get in safe. And then, if it took too long to find everybody else, Terry, who was it, would get Barry to yell, "Ollie, Ollie, in Comfrey!" And we'd come out. And then Terry would tag us. And we'd say, "No, wait a minute. You said, 'Ollie, Ollie, in Comfrey!' That wasn't me. That was Barry." If you, in the rule book, Section 3, Article 2, Subparagraph 1, you'll read very specifically, only the person who's it can call Ollie Ollie Income Free. And then it was like this big fight. Are you kidding me? And then it was, all of us just would gather together in this big clan, and then, nope, that's the rule, and that's it. And then, of course, so, I started to really like not coming out to the light. I started not trusting coming out to the light. Because who knew who was really calling us to the light? So I was just going to be nice and safe behind the bushes somewhere. And then you got to the place where you could try to say, okay, I'm going to find a place where I can see who actually has gotten in there. And if somebody has gotten caught before me, then if somebody calls all the audience, I'm free, and it's not the person who's it, you can come in, but you still won't be it. You won't get punished because the first person who got caught was going to be it next time. You never wanted to be it. All right. So there you go. So as long as I was safe in the darkness, or as long as somebody else was it and got in trouble before I did, I was okay. Wow. That's a heck of a thing for a six-year-old to theologize about. But boy, I did. I thought about it. It's like, you know, this is a really good idea to stay in the darkness and not actually get yourselves in trouble. It took me a long time to unlearn that. Yeah, like, why in the world would you put yourself into the light when you know that you've done something that's not good? Don't go out there. You're going to get in big trouble. You're going to get caught. It's going to be no good. Or at least, make sure somebody else does something a little worse, and then you can come out and you'll be all right. That was a game to play too, right? But this is exactly what we're doing. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he comes and says, I have come into the world not to condemn the world. It's not even condemned. The word is judged. I did not come to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through me, that there would be light to come. And the invitation is to enter into this light, this beautiful light of forgiveness and love. And the judgment that is made isn't God saying, "You are bad, you are bad." The judgment is simply revealing the truth. We do love us some darkness, don't we? Wow, we all are living in this darkness. Why are you doing that? Come out here into the light. Come on. No, I think I'd rather stay here. Thank you very much. And God was like, wow. From heaven, it kind of looked like you love darkness. But now that we're down here, whoa, you love you some darkness. Come on. Come out. All y'all income free. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't fool me twice. Right? But that's what God is trying to tell us. And the judgment is, it's like our self-judgment. We would rather stay unrevealed. So, that's how I took you come to love the darkness. How do you ever come to love the light? I think it's a matter of like this seduction over time. Come on, you can do this. Come over here. And times when you step out into the light and it isn't half as bad as you thought it would be. Because things in the dark look so much worse than when they come into the light again. It's like, oh, these things that I've done. Oh, I can't believe that I did this. And then you say, I did this. And they're like, oh, okay, well, sorry you did that. It's okay. When have you ever found where you like have done something that you thought was so profoundly bad that you just couldn't do it? You couldn't say it. Until finally you did, and someone was like, received it with grace and with forgiveness and with love. I wrote a whole book about that for myself. It was really helpful to think about, oh yeah, the times where I'm like, oh, I so totally messed up. And someone was like, oh, it's okay. You all know my story about the fight, my fight with the gardener, right?
Yeah.
It's a great story. I love that story. But it was so liberating. A guy who was cutting the grass, and he was just a mean guy, and a woman in our congregation, Mary and Dave, said, don't ever talk to him. And one day, I talked to him, and it was terrible. And I got in a big fight with him.